Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Great news for Jeff Collins and the Georgia Tech program. I hope it turns out the same for their fans. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. How are y'all? Georgia Tech got themselves a spring game tomorrow evening. I think it is a 6 o'clock local kickoff. I'll be down there. It's a spring game, and I'm like a tee shot and a four iron from historic Bobby Dodd Stadium. And I went to a game there so long ago. If you go back and Google your computer and look at Grant Field, like late 70s, early 80s, it was AstroTurf with a chain link fence around it and then a track. It was just awful. It was terrible. And so a lot of the area where the track was, like under the stands now, there was a ton of storage. They turned, I think it's just the visitor stands maybe, they turned that area under the stands into suites. And they nice. But anyway, so it just used to be an awful, crappy place to watch a football game. But they've changed all of it. And it's actually, they really, the North End Zone, they finished that project, increased the capacity to about 55,000. That was an O'Leary thing. They did not need to do that except when Clemson, Florida State occasionally, I'm saying occasionally Florida State comes to Atlanta, and of course the Georgia game. There are, over a two-year rotation, there's about three or four Saturdays where you need that extra seating, but it is a gorgeous place to watch a ball game, especially at night, and it's cliched. And that North End Zone thing kind of screwed it up a little bit. But used to be a time where you could look out and you'd see just the skylight and all the neon, the lights from Atlanta and all that. So it was a really awesome view. If you ever get a chance to go to a night game there, go. And so, granted, I think it is a 6 o'clock start, but it's night-ish. So I'll be down there actually tomorrow. And for now entering his third year, head coach Jeff Collins in the Tech program, I said there's great news for him. The great news is that there are two categories for most college programs, certainly in Power Five. You're either trying to get ahead or you're trying to just keep up. Any accounting of the Tech program with Paul as their head coach, they weren't even putting out great effort to keep up. And I don't think that – Dan Matthews, I don't think I'm being critical. That's just an observation.
No, it's not critical at all. Recruiting, facilities, everything.
It was just, hey, you know what? We're going to run an offense and grind down who we can grind down and deal with the other Saturdays, and then that'll be it. That was kind of Paul. And I've always said, I think Paul's a really good coach. He is. I don't understand what the recruiting was when he was there. I just don't. Could have done better, didn't. And, I don't know this because I wasn't on the staff. I wasn't in the meetings. But and I'm going to go, hey, you know, people say, no, like almost everyone that we will talk to and on the record on these airwaves, like, yeah, they just didn't put out the effort. There were a lot of kids that didn't knock on the door. So that was just my opinion, okay? At least now the Jackets as a program, you know what they're doing? They're keeping up. And I really do believe that. I think when Jeff Collins, I think I was the first to interview him. He landed, it was a Friday night beginning of December, back 2 years ago. And Dan?
You did, because I was engineering the broadcast from there.
There you go. So, oh, that's right. That's right. And it was like bad weather and it was later than it was supposed to be. And I think I actually stayed on the air later and I was gonna, and somebody hands him a cell phone, and suddenly I'm talking to Jeff Collins. And from that moment, which is like 15 minutes after he landed, from that moment, I think the Tech program has been trying to keep up. And anyone who is a Tech fan who will be really honest, two things. He or she will agree that that's what the program is doing now. They're trying to keep up. And he or she will also agree that it's an improvement. And I'm on board with trying to keep up. The great news I was talking about for Todd Stansberry, who's the AD, for Jeff Collins, and everybody on the flats, do you know what the great news is? The great news that I've got for Jeff Collins and the Tech program is you can choose to try to get ahead. That's all you have to do. You can choose to try to get ahead. If you spend the money, you will see tangible improvements in whatever area you are spending it on. Now, we all know you cannot choose that it will succeed, and that's why I didn't say that. But I said you're either trying to get ahead or you're trying to keep up. You can choose to spend the money, which means you can choose to attempt to raise the money. And if you're doing it in the correct way, it's always possible, folks. It always is. You can choose it. Can't choose it'll succeed. But you know what? You can choose that you're going to try to be Texas Christian or Boise, who said, hey, you know what? We're going to try. We're going to choose to get ahead. And so everybody, I think Boise might have been in the old WAC, the Western Athletic Conference, and then they moved up to the Mountain West. And I'm telling you, you know what Boise decided? We're going to try. We're going to choose to try to get ahead, not just keep up. And all of a sudden, Nevada and San Jose and Colorado State's looking around going, what happened to Boise? How'd this happen? And Oklahoma and the Fiesta Bowl's going, hey, what happened to Boise? Weren't they a homecoming opponent 2 years ago? And Georgia said, well, Boise? Virginia Tech, basically a home game, Landover, Maryland, season opener. Hey, what happened? How'd this happen? It happened because Boise State chose to try to get ahead. Now, again, you can't choose the success, but you can choose the attempt. And Boise, and I'll say what, they raised their version of money to compete in the WAC and the Mountain West. I think they were in the WAC. They also chose, you know what they chose? Kansas State chose to try to get ahead. They chose the same route. When you think Kansas State, Boise, what's the number one thing in recruiting? JUCO. Butler, Neo, Northeast Oklahoma. They chose that we're going to try to get ahead. We're not going to try to keep up. We're going to try to get ahead. You can choose the attempt. But if you choose to spend more and do a somewhat responsible job of it in the realm of what spending on college football is responsible, if you do a somewhat responsible job after you have raised the money, carve it in stone, 11th commandment, folks, you will get better. On May 21st, 2008, T-Boone Pickens, he gave Oklahoma State Athletics the final chunk of a $265 million gift. The four football seasons before he dropped $250 million onto Cowboys football, 7-5, 4-7, 7-6, 7-6. The four seasons immediately following, 9-4, 9-4, 11-2, 12-1. That doesn't all translate to Georgia Tech or most programs. Because I don't know if you, by the way, you know, that was, I said that was to Cowboys athletics and specifically football, obviously. T-Boone gave more than $1 billion to OSU. That was just the part for the running and tackling. I don't think every unit, like Marshall, good people. I don't think they have a single alum who can donate $265 million. I don't. Georgia Tech, they probably do, and maybe that person has, and maybe, do y'all know Georgia Tech has a nuclear reactor on campus? Yeah. Now, it's not operational anymore, but they got a nuclear. Okay, so yeah, Texas got cash. But it can equal the T. Boone Pickens, whatever your version of T. Boone Pickens is, Marshall. And wasn't that Mark D'Antoni raising the money for him? Yeah, for their big capital program. See, Marshall found their version, and I think they were trying to raise either $10 million or $20 million. That was their version of T-Boone going, yeah, I got oil. Here's $265. Let's spruce up that turf a little bit. It can, to a degree, if you decide.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com. And then call us for a free in-home consultation.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I think because it's not like it used to be where you're just looking at grad transfers, you know, which is immediate need. I think you got to look at this a little bit different into best players sometimes, even if it's not a position, because guys may have 2, 3, 4 years of eligibility left. So it's a little more complicated than it used to be.
You know who that is, I think. It's Lane Kiffin. And the fun returns on Saturday, at least a version of fun for a little bit. Ole Miss got that Grove Bowl, right? Is that, yeah, that's Saturday. And for anybody who wants some college football fun, it's going to be on an SEC network. It may be on the internet. I don't know. Maybe it's on alternate. Maybe it's on whatever. Go find it. But it's this Saturday. And I've told you, I'm the biggest Lane guy in this town. And what he's saying about the transfer portal specifically was his topic there. And he touched on a truth that I have mentioned before, that there was always, this is one of those 11th commandment things. I was like, carve it in stone, folks. This is always true. And I used to look at it, no matter where the kid was coming from, I was like, folks, you don't do this unless if a program took a transfer. People, he was coming in to start. If there was a kid coming, especially out of JUCO, community college, he was coming in to start. You wouldn't recruit him otherwise because you had one profile of recruits, and I mean for like about 90 years, there was essentially one profile of recruits. 18-year-old kid who was done with high school, and you would like him to come play college football for you. You would recruit him one time. He would get a scholarship, and then he may never speak to a coach again for 5 years. Unlimited scholarships, and you could be 6th or 7th or 8th on scholarship. 8th on the quarterback depth chart. And so that's just kind of how it was at some places. That's not everywhere, but the stories you hear about, you know, Alabama, most, and he didn't want that kid to play. He wanted to play against him at Mississippi State, so he'd give him a scholarship to sit the bench at Bama. That was true at places like Alabama. And so you would recruit the kid, and you were done recruiting. Then it started to change, and then there was some real talent to get out of JUCO. But again, here's why you would only, because I said before, there's only one category. You would recruit a kid, and you spent whatever time or money, and not much of each. But whatever you did, maybe it was Herschel Walker, all right? And you just recruited the daylights out of him, and he signed. Even with Herschel, when he showed up in Athens, do you know what Vince Dooley thought? Well, he's here for 4 seasons. because that's how it was. And so even with the original curveball, which that's, I guess that's what Herschel was. He left after 3 years, went to the USFL. Even with the original curveball, what? Wait a minute. Because you got a guy like Herschel on campus, and then on your stretched out like depth chart for the next, you wrote, all right, starting tailback in next season, Herschel. 2 seasons from now, Herschel. 3 seasons from now, Herschel. And the only thing that would change that would be dismissal, injury, etc. Well, we got Herschel, so we're set for 4 years. When you started bringing in JUCO kids, do you know why that you only brought in a kid if he was going to start? And you basically knew that. Do you know why? Because you had to recruit that spot. I have roster spot 77. I gave it to a freshman. 4 years later, I have to recruit roster spot 77 again. If I give it to a JUCO kid, I might have to recruit it again in 6 months. So, yeah. If I'm going to spend time, money, resources on a recruit for a JUCO, brother, I'm bringing him in to start. That ain't true anymore. It's not even close to true. It's not near true. Do you know how I know it's true? Because Tennessee just brought in 2 quarterbacks. Florida State, did they bring in 3 running backs, I think? I think. You see teams bring in 2 tight ends. It doesn't matter. Well, he's a depth guy. He's a rotation guy. Oh, huh? No. That transfer from Mississippi State, yeah, he's going to be depth mostly. Well, what's in it for him in Tallahassee that wasn't in it for him in Starkville? I don't know. Maybe he looks better in Garnet. I don't know. I look at something, I'm like, what's in it for you at Colorado State that wasn't at Penn State when you're just going to be a slot receiver or the fourth? What's in it? So what Lane just said, absolutely true. And you know what the best programs are, what their position is right now? Got 2 scholarships left, jumping into the portal. Just get a little depth is all. Just a little depth. That's all. Dan, what's up?
You know, I'm kind of getting the visual as you were talking about with the depth chart there. Probably back in the early 80s, we're looking at – you've seen the movie Friday Night Lights, right? The one with Billy Bob Thornton. Remember at the end, he's at the dry erase board, but on the dry erase board, they've got the magnets with the names on it. Those were the depth charts they were dealing with back then, is where you've got the magnetic names on there. Walker, Ballou, Ross, all those names, they're on there. So that's what I'm imagining with Vince Dooley at that time.
Oh, yeah, and he just had 4 of them that had Walker on it, and he just immediately put them on all 4 years. All right, we're set there. We don't have to recruit spot again.
Or maybe every once in a while you ask a grad transfer to go up there, take a name off, all those different types of things. Chuck, you know, we talk about trends all the time here on the show, and especially in college football, because as we've said, there's no original ideas. Everybody looks at somebody has success with it, and they say, huh, we can make that work here. And I would say that now one of the most recent trends, because it reminded me of yesterday, the news that you brought up during the CFB 365 segment of Hines Ward going to FAU. And I saw this trend happening long ago, but really I would say it got into overdrive this past offseason when Miami decided to bring Ed Reed back on campus. And, well, what are we going to do for Ed Reed? He's going to be our chief of staff. So Ed Reed is now there, and he's basically pumping everything that is Miami. Yep. He's a Miami guy through and through. He's a former superstar, all these different types of things. We're seeing the same thing at Texas A&M with Antonio Cromartie, too. Jimbo bringing in a guy who was a former All-Pro, great player, and guys would gravitate towards. But I think that, though, if you're a program that's going to try to go down this route, Chuck, you have to follow 2 criteria. Number one, they have to be a former star. But number two, they still have to be relevant. You can't go to, say, Villanova, for example, and then hire on Howie Long. You couldn't afford him. But if you could, hire him on, because kids would go, hey, isn't that the guy from TV? You can't hire the guy from TV. You got to hire the guy that they knew from the field.
Hey, you're right about that. I don't know if you've seen this. I think it's either Hulu or Netflix, Hip Hop Undercover. And Dr. Dre is on there in his title, his professional title, professional winner. And that's what I think about with Ed Reed. You know, he's a professional winner. Everything he's done, it has been at an elite level.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Sir Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Hello, the Chuck Oliver Show, and I think Spence Rattler is about a year and a week from shaking Roger Goodell's hand. And am I correct, Dan? You only shake Roger's hand if you're the first round, correct? Like, second round, you get the deputy commissioner, and I don't know who that is.
I think, actually, second round, you still do get Roger.
Really?
But I think in the second round is when, like, little by little, they start instituting the, from the New England Patriots, it's Teddy Bruschi.
Oh, I get to shake Drew Pearson's hand.
There's
then.
That, yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, that's right. Well, Spence Rattler's, he's not going to be shaking Tony Boselli's hand when the Jags take him, okay? That's not going to happen because he's going to be a Thursday night kid. He's going to be a first rounder. Want to welcome on now a guy who I would bet he shares the opinion, even though his head coach don't want to hear it right now, I'm sure. But host of The Rush at Sports Talk 1400 every afternoon out yonder in Norman. It is Tyler McComas. Tyler, how are you, brother?
I'm good. Maybe Spencer Rattler is playing in your neck of the woods next year, throwing a Kyle Pitts, huh? How does that sound?
My goodness, that kid is about to make a lot of money. He is a special, special kid. And as a five-star, number one-ranked pro-style quarterback coming out of high school a couple years back, I got to tell you, it took, you know, it wasn't perfect because it was his first really extensive playing time last year. But, I mean, literally from the opening week, I was like, all right, that kid's different. He's got a different sort of – it just comes out of his hand different.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that last year, and people around here were hard on him because we all knew the expectations of him going into last year, right? Trying to follow up two Heisman Trophy winners, and oh, by the way, the third guy just he was a runner-up to the Heisman Trophy. But the situation was completely unfair, I think, for Rattler last year because he was going to be compared to those three guys. Spencer Rattler had a far worse offensive line than those previous three guys did.
Agreed.
He had a running back room where his best back wasn't available until like six games into the season, and they struggled with that position. He had a wide receiver core where he didn't have a first-round player, and the previous three guys all had first-round draft picks at that position. So if you're coming away thinking that Rattler was good last year, and I think that that's the correct assessment, wait till he has a better offensive line this year. Wait till he has better talent at running back. Wait till some of these four- and five-star talent develop at wide receiver this year. Then you're really going to see a guy that takes off at that position.
That is a fun, fun-looking kid. You mentioned the running backs there. Kennedy Brooks, who – he was so good that Trey Sermon's like, yeah, I'm going to go get something somewhere else. Kennedy Brooks opted out last year, though. It's not just him, you know, well, he's returning, but Eric Gray's in town from Tennessee as well. And I can tell you, I've seen the kid in person. And you just watch tape, whatever. Eric Gray is a really, really good running back as well. And so it goes from, I think it was a week five or six when Ramondre came back to two big-time power five running, like difference-making guys.
Yeah, I think if OU started a game today, Eric Gray would be their starter at running back. I think when the season starts in September, Eric Gray is going to be the starting running back. And I think at the end of the season, Eric Gray is going to be the leading rusher. There's not a whole lot of, if optimism is the right word, around Kennedy Brooks. You know, did he have back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in 2018 and 2019? Absolutely. One of those offensive lines he was running behind was a Joe Moore Award offensive line. And that's just the situation that he was in. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but he's just not the super dynamic running back that we've seen around here before. And all the talk is that Eric Gray is that type of guy. He's got the breakaway speed that you saw at Tennessee last year. If they have a big play back in that room right now, it's the Tennessee transfer Eric Gray. So the talk is so much here about Kennedy Brooks that it's not that if he's going to be the number one running back, it's is he going to be in the rotation? Is he going to be the second or third back in the rotation? That's kind of where it's at right now with Kennedy Brooks. There's a big adjustment period going on, and maybe he'll turn out to be a better runner than he was in 18 and 19, but I don't think a whole lot of people are feeling like that's going to be the case right now.
Well, let's talk about mentioned wide receiver and, you know, who Spence Rattler's going to throw to. Lincoln Riley, he was not worried about hiding his feelings. Says you got to step up production from the receivers from last year. Could I ask you, and see, like a coach would never do this because you can only worry about who you do have. I'm going to ask you about somebody they don't. Why did Charleston Rambo leave? What's the story there?
Well, I think the writing was kind of on the wall. Mario Williams is coming in this year who – might be a starter at wide receiver this year. But they tried to, like, force Rambo the ball because one thing OU always has in their offense is they have a deep play guy, a burner on the outside that can go vertical. We all remember Marquise Hollywood Brown.
Oh,
that
yeah.
type of role is what they hope for Charleston Rambo. But to put it simply, Rambo wasn't good last year. He struggled at times getting behind the defense. And when he did, dropped a whole lot of footballs. OU led the nation last year. 10 drop passes in the end zone. That was 5 more than the next team in college football, and Charleston Rambo is a big reason why that number was so high. Now, it does make you wonder a little bit when you see how much he's torn it up so far with Miami during their spring and including their spring game, but I think for Charleston Rambo, it was obvious. I mean, he wasn't getting a whole lot of playing time at the tail end of last year, and with the players that they're bringing in this year, he was going to be lucky to be on the 2-deep.
All right, healthy knee and everything else, and right and integrated in the offense. What is the best Jaden Hazelwood? What does his personal 100% look like?
It's at the mental part of this injury right now, which might be the toughest to overcome. I think that he's 100% healed. Really, they threw a ball to him. It was the biggest offensive play of the game for OU last year in the Big 12 championship game, and they try to hit Jaden Hazelwood on a third down. So he's 100% healed, and this was all the way back in early December, but it doesn't seem like he's trusted it just yet. He's still mentally trying to get past, trusting himself, trusting that 100% again to be healthy. And if he does, if he gets past that, he's got a chance to be one of their starting wide receivers this year. I mean, you guys know how supremely talented he was coming out of high school. And if he's going to make it at OU, if he's going to be a big player, this is kind of the year, you know. The clock's ticking. And if he has a big year, it could propel him to NFL stardom. But if he doesn't have a big year and he has a tough time, you know, getting into the rotation, he's one of those guys you could probably see in the portal at the end of the year.
You know what? Charleston Rambo just proved it. You can show up with all the stars that are available, all 5 stars. I got all 5 of them, and then you can be portaled right on the way out. Could I ask you to comment a little bit, because you'd mentioned Mario Williams, and Riley and the staff went down to Florida, and boy, they got a guy who can just blaze. Not the biggest kid in the world, but he's got plenty enough size for today's game. Talk about Mario Williams and what he's flashed.
Well, I think he's going to be a starter, and I think that because I don't know how familiar you guys are with the Trajan Bridges and Seth McGowan situation going out here, but it does not sound favorable for either one of those two guys. And at this point, I'd be surprised if Trajan Bridges, one of the 5-star wide receivers that came in with Jaden Hazelwood, I'd be surprised if him and Seth McGowan are on the team this year. So that opens up the door for Mario Williams. They're going to use him as a burner. They're going to use him in that Marquise Hollywood Brown role, I think, kind of on the outside. They're going to use him in kick returns. They're going to use him in punt returns. He's probably the fastest guy, the fastest wide receiver they have on the roster right now. Lincoln loves to have that ability at that position. So I think that he has a chance to be maybe their big play guy this year as a true freshman.
Let's talk about a couple transfers. You already mentioned Gray. Wanya Moore's been beating up people the past month.
He's been beating up himself is what it sounds like. And I thought that he was going to have a good chance to come in right away and be one of their starters at tackle because they just don't have as much depth as they would like right now. And I think eventually that could still be the case because he is supremely talented. He is a guy that came to Tennessee with a whole lot of stars. OU wanted him the first time around in the recruiting process. So he could get there. But I think it's fair to say that he's not close to being there right now.
What about the kid from Arizona, the guard?
Robert Kongle is who you're thinking of.
Yes.
Yeah, got a chance to be a rotational guy for them for sure. But really the transfer that everybody's talking about outside Eric Gray is Key Lawrence. I think he was a four-star coming into Tennessee. They love him on the back end of their defense. They think that he's going to be a superstar. He is instinctive. He's fast. He hits hard. I mean, he's one of those players that OU's been looking for in a while. And, man, they were able to clean house in Knoxville this offseason. And if OU gets over the hump, those three Tennessee guys got a chance to be a big-time part of that.
Wrapping up with Tyler McComas again, Sports Talk 1400 out there. It's funny that you mentioned, you know, you said, well, you know, Kongle, he can be, you know, sort of a rotation, a depth guy. I literally was just talking. We played a clip from Lane Kiffin saying, you know, it used to be if you brought a transfer in, he was going to start. That's the only reason you would do it. And now I talked about Florida State. They brought in, I think, eight, and, you know, three or four of them. Like, yeah, they could be depth guys. They could provide. I'm like, that's just not what a transfer used to be.
No, it's not. And OU potentially has another situation just like that. Arkansas's number two wide receiver, Mike Woods, is in the transfer portal right now. And it sounds like there is very much mutual interest between OU and Mike Woods. He's a good player. He's proved that in Fayetteville before. But he's not going to come in here right away to be a starter. OU knows that. But kind of like you're saying is that's a kind of a backup option for them. He can be in the wide receiver rotation, but I don't even think Mike Woods necessarily thinks he might be a starter here. Maybe he does, but it sounds like that's pretty far along and got a good chance to happen. And you're right. It's, you know, schools are willing to bring in guys even if they're not starters. They just want to add as much depth as possible. And with the transfer portal and kids going out so much, it's hard to establish depth. But the way to get it back is to add other guys through the portal, I guess. I guess that's what the way that most people are going about it these days.
All right, last thing, again, with this game on Saturday, Caleb Williams, what are the reports about? Because he's Spence Rattler, I don't know, 2 years later. He's the number one ranked quarterback in America, dual threat quarterback out of D.C. What's the story on him?
I mean, supremely impressive. I was even told that if Rattler were to go down, I know that this is hard to believe. It's hard to believe myself. But I guess some people that have been in practice think that if Rattler were to go down, and not that anyone would want that to happen, Caleb Williams could kind of pick up where he left off. He's just that naturally gifted. He doesn't have the experience that Rattler has, and that's invaluable when you're talking about a team that's trying to win a playoff game for the first time. But just in terms of God-given ability, it sounds like Caleb Williams is every bit of the quarterback right now as a true freshman than Spencer Rattler is.
All right, can I ask you just one more question then? This is just got to – some of it's going to be your impression then, because it's really trying to get into the insight into Lincoln Riley's gray matter. I mean, whether it's a recruit in Arizona or a recruit in Washington, D.C., if it's a quarterback, Lincoln Riley's involved. What is it about him – that sells these kids? Because literally everybody wanted Spencer Rattler, everybody wants Caleb Williams, and even Kyler Murray, they keep choosing Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, I think that a lot of it is personality. He is a younger coach, and we talk all the time about the staff has got to get younger to be able to relate to the kids. And that's true sometimes, not all the time, but I think that that's Lincoln's strength in recruiting is he has all the tools necessarily to sell a kid. I mean, it's not that hard to get a kid to want to come play quarterback at OU, but he's kind of got that down-to-earth, loose personality that I think jives with a whole lot of kids. They got a great chance in the 2023 class to get a great five-star quarterback out of California who it's either going to be he or Arch Manning is going to be the number one quarterback in that class. So, yeah, they're going to D.C. They're going to Arizona. They're going to California to get their kids right now. It's an easy sell, but I think Lincoln is really good about being personable with some of these quarterback recruits. He played that position. He's the offensive coordinator. He's that quarterback coach. It's just kind of that whole dynamic where I feel like he gets into the home or on the Zoom nowadays, and I feel like these kids and these families just end up really trusting him. But I do think it's a massive advantage that not only is he the head coach, he's the OC and their quarterback's coach. He is with them all the time. And I don't know if there's really another head coach out there, Dabo, Nick, Saban, anybody else that can kind of sell that right now on the recruiting trail.
No, he's a Pied Piper is what he is, especially when it comes to quarterbacks. Yeah. Tyler, appreciate the time, man. It's always great. Thank you for coming on again.
Anytime.
All right, Tyler McComas again, Sports Talk 1400. And that's just what it is. I've told you the story. I won't go into all the details, but I met him when he was 27, and he was a recent hire from Ruffin McNeil at East Carolina, and I thought he was a GA. Ruffin was, hey, it's the OC. This is Coach Riley, and I'm looking around for Coach Riley. I'm looking like I'm standing next to him, and I'm looking around for the adult who is the OC with for Division I. Actually, a winning. Go back and look at. He took over, I'm going to say, Lincoln Riley became the OC in maybe 08 or 09. Ruffin McNeil, nicest man you'd ever meet. He didn't need to be running a program, his alma mater or not. But he saw some talent in Lincoln Riley. But then he quickly – when Bob Stoops goes to Greenville, North Carolina to fix his offense, sold. He's just really, really impressive to be around. So anyway, appreciate Tyler coming on. We're going to break, wrap up hour one next.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan, we don't have a guest here, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Make sure we don't have anybody on hold. Reading an interesting note that of Tennessee's top five signees in December, none of them will suit up for Saturday spring game. That if you look at the top five players that Tennessee brought into the program in December's early signing period. Now, again, that was when you had a different head coach. That if you look at the top five, I'm not laughing. I'm saying this doesn't seem possible. Didn't we talk about this yesterday? That somehow fans painting a rock and the administration not following through on a signed contract, somehow that wasn't the low point for the program over the past 3 years. Shocking to me. But they do have a spring game on Saturday. And, I mean, some of this stuff's coming to roost now. The top five players brought into the program in December, none of them will play on Saturday. One of them is injured. Two of them are suspended. Two of them are no longer at the program. One of them's at Auburn. One of them's at Arizona, I believe. So that's what Josh Heupel is working with going into the weekend. Now, the truth is, it doesn't necessarily matter. Now, I'm talking big picture because if you had all five of those and they had established themselves to the point where they're starting and every snap they're getting better, that's all true. It's not going to affect the bottom line very much in 2021. And I'm talking if all five of those kids were not only in the program and healthy and not suspended and et cetera, et cetera. If they were all five healthy and playing and had established themselves to the point of the starters, that'd be great news for Tennessee. It still wouldn't change the big picture very much for 2021 because you're talking about five true freshmen who have actually nabbed some really important spots. Dylan Brooks, now at Auburn. I said Arizona, didn't I? I'm sorry. Dylan Brooks is at Auburn. Cody Brown, Miami. Catron Evans, he's actually was released from his national letter of intent. And then Aaron Willis and Caden Salter are suspended. So it's not, I'm sorry. Hey, it's not even injured. One at Auburn, one at Miami. One released from his national letter of intent, two are suspended. David Pascal from Chattanooga Times had that factoid. Full credit. And it's not a fun one to talk about. So if you're looking at Tennessee and Saturday's game, just, you know, grain of salt, whatever, just it, that's not true. That, you know, so don't worry if you see these specific things. I would say the same thing about their spring game, say about every spring game. Say about what Tara Talmadge came on yesterday talking about the Arkansas spring game when I said there's actually sort of a little pop-up of concern about the defense following the spring game. And she was like, hey, it's a spring game, folks. Chill. I would say the same thing because your challenges aren't going to be revealed on Saturday. Do you follow me if you're a Tennessee fan? It's not going to be like, oh, wow, we played the spring game. Now I know we need to get better on run defense. It's not like, oh, we played the spring game. We're a little shaky, fits and starts on offense. Oh, we played the spring game. Now I understand that probably one spot, maybe two, on the offensive line are actually settled. Not who it will be. We have some ideas about that, but where they will be. Couple of spots settled. Yeah, maybe one or two. Maybe. So don't be overly concerned. It's good for you, and I'm talking directly to Balls fans right now. 4.5 months from now when the season starts, I say it's good for you. You will get a preview of these exact same issues as that's the good part. You know what's coming. What you see on Saturday, it's a preview of what you will see come the season. So it's a little bit of a get-ready pill. If you look at what I expect to be the problems on Saturday, it's going to be quarterbacks catching up to the offense, even talented, experienced quarterbacks who have played at other Power 5 programs. There's going to be a little bit of a challenge catching up to the offense, to the play calling, to the speed, to the pace. There are multiple options, including, and we were talking about this yesterday, a breakaway threat that has kind of emerged. And Tennessee may have some talent back there. Do they have the guy that they want to lean on the fourth quarter when it's time to ground and pound? Again, the offensive line getting settled. The defensive front, I'm encouraged about that for the first time in a long time because it's not just – you know, returning experienced players, but some starters and a lot of upperclassmen, including super seniors there. Linebackers, different story. Defensive line, kind of like it.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.